Hello, today I will be conducting an interview with Annalise Hoffman, where she is an IT technician at the Mercer County Children and Youth Services located in Mercer, Pennsylvania, as well as that she served in the United States Navy. So I believe this will be a very interesting interview to do today. So how are you doing today, Annalise?
Pretty good. It's Sunday. You know, Sundays are usually good days.
Yeah, lazy Sundays, nice days to have. So with you being an IT, being into IT, what got you interested in working in IT?
Wow, this is actually kind of a nerdy story. I've always been working in electronics since I've been in the Navy. And when I was in the Navy, I had a group of friends that began playing World of Warcraft together. And I had to pretty much learn how to fix my own computer and stuff to play World of Warcraft back in like 2005. So that is really what got the ball rolling on my interest in computers and my skill set. So
basically the fantasy or role-playing MMORPG of World of Warcraft basically got you into doing IT stuff.
Yes, I will contribute it all to World of Warcraft.
With you being in the Navy, what got you interested in joining the Navy?
Well, first of all, a lot of individuals in my family were in the military. I had two aunts and uncles that were in the Air Force. I had an uncle that was in the Army, an uncle that was in the Marines. My father was in the Marines, another uncle who was in the Air Force. So it's just a whole bunch of people in my family were in the military. And when I came to my senior year in high school, I wasn't quite sure exactly what I wanted to major in yet, and I didn't quite have the money for college either. So I kind of just was like, I started looking at the other options I had, and my mother mentioned, why don't you just go in the Navy? And it just kind of clicked, and I was like, you know what, that's a good idea. And that's what pretty much started that.
So basically, since majority of your family was in the military, they were just like, hey, Annalise, a lot of people were in the military, so maybe you should join too. And you were like, yeah, okay.
Yep, that was a good idea. Solid choice.
What exactly did you do in the Navy? Like, what bases were you at and what ships were you on and stuff like that?
Well, first of all, what I did when I was in the Navy was I was what was called an aviation electronic technician. So I worked on any electronic systems that you could find on a plane or a helicopter. And I ended up working mainly on, when I was stationed in San Diego, California, I worked mainly on H-60s, which is a small helicopter usually used for like SAR rescue, which is like a search and rescue group of people that go out to sea and they get, you know, rescue people that were in shipwrecks or whatever. And then when I was stationed up in Washington State, on Whidbey Island, I worked mainly on the EA-6B Prowlers, which were an electronic warfare plane, and I worked on their systems. And then I finally deployed out of Norfolk, Virginia, on the Theodore Roosevelt CVN-71, fixing the EA-6B Prowlers on a deployment in 2008.
Basically working on the Navy's main like helicopters and a couple of their planes. Were you ever involved in the F-18 fighter jet, or was that like not a jet you worked on?
When I was stationed in San Diego, there were a couple times where we had F-18 boards or, you know, pieces come in that I had to fix, but that wasn't a usual thing. Usually they were kind of scary. They were more advanced, like boards and stuff like that had micro miniature pieces on it instead of just micro. So it's like I would work on larger components, but when their boards came in, it was way smaller, way more intricate, so it was a little bit more nerve-wracking.
Well, I could imagine being involved with computers and working on the military's aircraft. It can probably be very complicated to learn stuff around that, I assume.
Yeah, but just like with anything, the more you're exposed to it, the more you understand it and the more comfortable you are with it.
And I know that most people that were in like the Navy and stuff, did you ever travel to like any like foreign countries that you were stationed in?
So this is where my answers get very uninteresting. I didn't get to travel too much. I didn't deploy until my last year in the Navy. I only did one deployment. And then on that deployment, really all we did was we shot out of Norfolk and we headed south towards the Horn of Africa. And we went around the Horn of Africa. And when we got there, we did a port of call in Cape Town, South Africa, but only about half of the ship's company got to, get off the ship and actually explore. We had some issues with, we couldn't port actually on land. We had to anchor off land, and we had to use what was called, like, it's almost like a ferry. We had to use almost like a ferry that would go from our ship to the mainland. And there were a very limited amount of ferries. And so with time constraints and everything, only a few people got off, and I was not one of them. So I didn't get to see Africa. I just got to see the coast of it and wave at it and be excited about just that. So we went around the Horn, went up around the other side of Africa, and then we ended up stopping in Dubai. And that was probably 4 or 5 port of calls we stopped there, which was cool and all, but it got a little dry after a while. It was just kind of like, oh, we've seen this, we've done this. And then we stopped in England, in Portsmouth, England, on our way out, on our way home. And so I got to see Portsmouth, England. I stayed the night in London. It was a very nice time. But other than that, that's all I ever got to see. So pretty much the coast of Africa, Dubai, and England, which still was awesome. I won't complain. But I wanted to see more.
I guess military constraints don't really let you explore various major cities. It is cool that you got to visit Dubai. And London as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was definitely grateful.
After the Navy, like, what did you do after you were done serving?
Well, I moved away from where I was stationed. I moved to North Carolina and started going to school there. Now, I'm not originally from North Carolina, but, like, my life just ended up taking me there. Started going to school down there at Wake Tech University, and got a lot of my general eds out of the way, and then moved back to Pennsylvania. Eventually, that's where I grew up, and finished my schooling there at Penn State. So after I got home, finished my schooling at Penn State, I have majored in criminal justice. So I have a 4-year degree in criminal justice and an associate's in IT tech, IT tech, so computer science.
That's cool. So what do you... criminal justice. What got you interested in that?
Well, I have always been really interested in kind of like abnormal psychology, or in just how complicated human behavior can be, and trying to understand people as well as I can. And it just kind of, it caught my interest. So I went for it.
That's really cool. And did you study at, like, the main Penn State school and State College? Because I know, like, Penn State has, like, other schools scattered around Pennsylvania.
I did not. I studied at a satellite campus called Penn State Shenango that was right by where I lived, so.
Well, it's nice that you didn't have to travel, I guess, 2 to 3 hours to State College.
And I got to live in my home. I didn't have to live, on campus or anything like that, which would be horrible for someone that was like 25 years old going back to school and had already lived on her own. I would not want to live in a dorm room with like an 18-year-old.
probably would have been weird, mm-hmm. I guess. It's cool. And for me, growing up in Pennsylvania as well, I did grow up kind of liking Penn State. So go Nittany Lions. Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
We are. So like after the whole, criminal justice thing, did you like work in like any like courts or for like law buildings? I'm not an expert on it, so what I'm saying probably sounds like pretty silly, but
I understand the question though. So what I did, well, I did my internship with Mercer County Courthouse, so I sat in a lot of hearings. I worked with the DAs, the assistant DAs, and learned a lot about their protocol and how they go about approaching cases. I help them to log some information, listen to some recordings, things like that. But after I graduated, I actually, while I was job searching for my big girl career, I worked with Geek Squad at Best Buy for a couple of months, which got me a little bit more IT experience. And then I got hired on at Mercer County Children and Youth Services as a caseworker.
Being a caseworker, what do you do with that at the Mercer County Children and Youth Services place?
Well, as a case manager for Mercer County Children and Youth Services, I essentially ensured the safety and the well-being of the children on my cases. So I would go into their homes, I would talk to their parents, talk to them, ensure their home was safe in general. You know, I would assess their relationships with their parents, just pretty much make sure that they weren't in any kind of impending danger or risk.
So in a way, you're kind of part of Child Protective Services in a way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
Well, it's nice that you do care for children in the area, and I think it's a great thing that you're doing that as well.
I ended up moving out of that position into the IT position for the building though when that became open, so that's why I'm now an IT technician.
So do you basically sit at a computer all day, or?
Well, I'm technically kind of like tier one support because there's different levels of support. You know, network management, the upper guys, they'll be like tier three. I'm tier one, so I'm more of a user-based IT technician. So someone's having issues with their computer. Someone doesn't know how to use something. Somebody is having trouble with the database system we work with. You know, it's more like I'm helping my caseworkers to be able to use their technology effectively so they can do their jobs.
It's really cool that you are very tech savvy in a way. I guess I could just imagine... Well, various, like, science fiction stuff. Like, I can imagine you be the type of character that has, like, the cool reflective goggle glasses that lets you hack.
I'm hacking into the system or something.
Yeah, pretty much stuff like that. With your career and stuff, what stuff do you do on the side? Like, do you have any, like, interesting hobbies or stuff like that?
One of my biggest hobbies that I do is cosplay, which is essentially costume play. And it's I pick a favorite character from a show, a book, a movie, and I replicate their costume and then wear it to conventions, or I get photography done of my costume work, or even do my own photography because that's my other hobby is photography. I've been doing photography since like 2004, 2005. So I really enjoy that hobby, too. And I get to mix them both, which is really fun.
Oh, that's cool. What got you interested in cosplaying?
That's an interesting question because I feel like cosplay has always been there on, like, the fringes of my life. And I've always noticed it and been like, oh, that's cool. That's interesting. It didn't really ever grab my attention until really, I think it was, like, 2011 or something like that. I was playing Halo Reach, and I really loved the character Kat from Halo Reach, which she is like a kind of like a tech expert, which is kind of interesting, and this real tough girl. And I was like, I want to be that person, and started looking it up. And apparently, unbeknownst to me, there was this whole group of people called the 405th that does Halo costuming, and they had all these instructions and had all these like tutorials and files that you can download to make your own armor. And that's when it really began to interest me, but I never followed through with it. I just like, oh, that's really cool. And then just kind of forgot about it probably because I was in college and stuff still. So that was like the first time it interested me. And then it was always like in the back of my mind after that. And then I didn't really start doing it until 2016. I dressed up like Daenerys Targaryen for Halloween, and I was like, wait, this is cool. I'm going to wear this to a convention, and then I just started cosplaying after that.
So basically your first big cosplay was Daenerys? I'm bad at pronunciation, sorry.
Yep, Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones was my first cosplay.
Yeah, she's the one they call the Mother of Dragons, I assume?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. With other things cosplay related, what other like characters have you cosplayed in, hopefully to cosplay as?
Oh man, I've done Lara Croft from Tomb Raider. I've done Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road. I've done Private Vasquez from the movie Aliens, which is older than even me, I think. gosh, I don't know. Who else have I done? I did a female version of Jon Snow from Lord of the Rings. I did Orko from Masters of the Universe, which, like, that's a He-Man show. I know I'm forgetting something. I've done a lot so far.
Basically, cosplaying has become a huge part of your life.
Yes, it really has. And a lot of my friendships and social interactions are all revolving around cosplay nowadays, too. So it's really changed my life for the better.
So basically, ever since 2016, you've been heavily involved in at least the cosplay community. I'm going to assume around Western PA or Pittsburgh area, pretty much.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really, really cool. And with the photography thing, like, did you always like photography as like a young kid, or did it become an interest later on in life? Or
actually, funny that you should say that. Yes, photography has been an interest of mine for a very long time. I think one of my earliest memories of being interested in taking pictures of things that I found pretty or whatever was I was a really little girl, and my dad took me up to Lake Erie, and I bought a waterproof disposable camera that you could just get at a drugstore. And I would, like, dive underneath the water at Erie, and I'd take pictures, and I got them developed. That was one of the first times I ever was like, wow, this is really awesome. I like doing this. And so it wasn't until I got a digital camera later in life that I really began to do it, but it was something that I always liked, so.
Photography is definitely a really great hobby, and I assume you know how to, like, make pictures, like, blow up and make them look as professional as ever and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And
within the limits and functionality of my equipment, yes.
Oh, that's cool. I assume, like, what type of photography do you do?
Well, a few different kinds. I do portrait photography. I've recently started doing cosplay photography of my friends and myself. I like to do pet photography. I like to take lots of pictures of my pets, and I've taken a couple pictures of other people's pets. And then I like to do nature photography, and mainly when I do nature photography, it's called macro. I get in very close to take very, very zoomed in, very close shots of things, so you can see like a tiny little mushroom and all the details on it, or a little itty bitty bug or something like that.
I mean, cosplay photography sounds like it's one of the more fun things to do as a hobby.
Oh, it's very fun, especially because the majority of people I shoot with, they're just awesome, so it makes it a good time.
Look at that. Let's see, what else? I don't know, like, what's it like being a cosplayer? And I assume you're more of like a professional cosplayer now. Like, what's it like for you?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm professional. I haven't been paid to cosplay or anything of that matter. It's mainly just a hobby. But what's it like? I get a great deal of satisfaction from it, trying to, it's like a challenge, like a puzzle. You see a costume and you're like, how can I make that? And you tear it apart and a bunch of itty-bitty little pieces and try to figure out how each little piece goes together, how you can make each little piece, what material you can make it out of. And then when you get to see that all come together into a finished product in like a nice high-definition photo, it's like, it is so gratifying. It's just so much hard work into one moment, one photo. I love it.
Basically a hobby that does take up a lot of hours of time, hard work and craftsmanship. And I do follow a lot of cosplayers myself, including like professional ones like Jessica Najiri.
Najiri,
and other cosplayers like that. And myself, the only cosplay I've ever done was the homemade suit from Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's cool.
And I have to say, cosplaying is definitely an interest of mine as well. And it is cool that I'm interviewing a cosplayer myself. Well, you said that you're not, I guess, quote-unquote professional. I assume that your cosplays are probably, like, can be, like, screen accurate. Like, I guess, like you said, you were the Lord, you cosplayed Lara Croft.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume, like, you always try to get as as much detail as you can of what she looks like from the games.
Absolutely, absolutely. I try as much as I can to replicate and make more of a replica than just a costume version. Like, I want it to look exactly the same if I can.
That's actually a really big accomplishment, being in cosplay and stuff. And I can only assume, like, can cosplay be rather expensive sometimes? Or is there a way to, like, kind of budget it so you don't have to, like, accidentally blow $1,000 on one thing?
Well, yes, you guessed it right. Cosplay can be very expensive. But if you, instead of just splurging, you can hunt in other areas. Like, if I need leather, I can go to Goodwill and try to find an old leather coat at Goodwill instead of going and buying leather. Or if I need a certain type of fabric, I'll check all the sale bins, or I'll check the remnants at, you know, the local fabric store before I just go and buy a whole new, brand new, you know, cut of fabric. It's like a treasure hunt almost, like try to find the most affordable option. Or like, if you need silk, let's find faux silk instead of real silk, because then it's going to look similar, but it's not breaking the bank, that kind of thing. So there's ways around it.
Well, that's really awesome that there's at least cheaper options.
Yeah.
So you don't accidentally blow in all your life savings on one thing.
Yeah, you have to practice a little bit of restraint, even though it's hard sometimes.
I assume whatever cosplays you've worked on, there have been times where you wanted to get this item really bad, but it was like, say, $60-some or something. That's like, oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, I have to like save. Or sometimes what's awesome is I have what's called a Ko-fi, which is like a donation site where people can donate small amounts of money to artists if they want to see create. And it's a really nice system because the money goes straight to you, and then they get to see the content they like, and you get to create. And I've had people donate a little bit to me here and there, which is awesome, because sometimes it's like that enabled me to get a very specific buckle that I needed, or a pair of contacts that I needed, or something. And it's a big help. I really am I'm very grateful when people do that.
So in a way, it's similar to, I guess, Patreon, because I know Patreon is like a donation thing that's popular.
What's the main difference is with Patreon, usually when people subscribe to your Patreon, you are obligated to give certain types of content on a monthly basis, so that, you know, their tier or whatever that they pay, the amount they pay, you are meeting the obligation, I guess. But with Ko-fi, essentially, there's no obligation. They're not necessarily paying for certain content. They're just donating. So that's pretty cool.
Like, Ko-fi is a good way to help you with your cosplaying hobby.
Yes, yes.
With getting back to the IT section as we wrap up this interview, to anyone out there that like might have an interest in IT or working in computers, do you have any like advice or tips to anyone who wants to work in that type of field?
The biggest bit of advice I'll give when it comes to IT is that you should always be learning, because technology changes so fast. It changes in the blink of an eye. And what you know 2 weeks ago could change drastically. So you have to always be looking at, you know, the news when it comes to tech. You have to be continuously educating yourself on, you know, different internet protocols, or what is the better Ethernet cable to use now, or, you know, whatever, what's the better processor now. It's just always going to be changing. So you need to always be educating yourself. Don't think you can just stop at your 2 or 4 year degree and then you're good. You should always educate yourself.
So it definitely involves a lot of on the nose, hands-on learning at that type of stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I assume it keeps you busy a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. So as we wrap up this interview, it was a wonderful time to interview Annalise Hoffman, who serves an IT technician at the Mercer County Children and Youth Services, and also that, like I meant, like we talked about before, she served in the U.S. Navy. Thank you for serving in the Navy, all that stuff, and also that she is, I would say, well, she does. Yeah, sorry about that. Well, I would say that she doesn't consider a professional cosplayer, but definitely cosplay is definitely a great hobby, and it's nice that she is very dedicated to that sort of thing, as well as having a big dedication in photography and stuff like that. So I would say interviewing Annalise here was a really cool experience to have.
Oh, thanks.
And I would like to say that it was an honor to interview you for this thing.
And it was an honor to be chosen. Thank you.
Yes. And this has been Alexander Ayers of West Liberty University.